GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
We're turning to the All-Ireland final on Sunday. Yesterday we heard from various Dublin players and we heard from Jim Gavin as well. Colm Kavanagh of Tyrone is on the line meanwhile live. You're there, Colm?
Yes, Joe, how are you?
Very well. Thanks a million for joining us. Much appreciated. So you were obviously at a winning All-Ireland banquet in 2008 and had the misfortune of being at the runners-up banquet on Sunday evening. How'd you find it? What's the vibe of those things?
Yeah, it's very much a different feel. The 2008 banquet, I can't remember very much about it. There were so many people there and it was all a bit of a blur. Everything happened really fast. That's a long time ago now. Look, the banquet on Sunday night actually was very upbeat. You know, a lot of supporters turned up. There was still a big crowd, and the guys, you know, everyone was very supportive. It was very upbeat, albeit the result wasn't what we wanted. But the guys, you know, they say Mickey Hart saying yesterday that he wasn't looking forward to it. I don't think any player was looking forward to the banquet. But you know, we were able to put it on a positive spin on things, and you know, a lot of supporters, you know, citing that we had given them a great summer's football, and you know, if we had looked at it after the Monaghan game, they would have took getting beat in an All-Ireland final.
Was there a homecoming then up in Tyrone on Monday?
Yeah, we had a homecoming with two stops, one in Ottinacloy, the main event then being held in Oma with a live band of Moore Party Elbow playing. So both events got good turnouts, and you know, it was brilliant to see so many people come out obviously from a losing result Sunday.
Strange one for players. What do you do? How do you react? Do you wave? Do you say sorry? Do you say thanks?
Yeah, look, it's difficult. Players reacted in different ways. Some of the players were smiling and probably had a few too many drinks and really enjoyed themselves. You know, while others probably were still sort of battling with the loss from the day before, and you know, we're finding it hard to put on a brave face and whatnot. So it was probably a mixed bunch of lads. You know, so that's, you know, that's how it turned out.
And where are you in that spectrum?
I'd be honest, I find it difficult. You know, I find it very hard to, you know, to speak to supporters, from, you know, sign the jerseys, you know, standing for photographs, that sort of thing. You sort of felt nearly like a fraud at that stage, that, you know, we'd lost the game, and, you know, we'd given everyone so much hope before the game, and you know, hope that we could get something out of it, and you know, trying to do that sort of thing afterwards isn't always very easy. I don't find it easy anyway. I don't find it easy at the best of times, but especially after a loss like that. But at the same time, it does, you know, I suppose I understand that it does mean so much, especially to the kids of Tyrone. You know, they follow you through thick and thin, and you know, it's good to be able to put a smile on their faces.
You talked there about everybody having a bit of hope before the game. I'm interested to know, how do you approach a game like that when you're such, you know, almost kind of unbackable underdogs? Like, it's a 6 or 7 point spread. That's what everybody's saying. And you and your gut must know how good this Dublin side are. And there was the semi-final last year. Like, was it an All-Ireland final where you approach thinking, well, let's hang on here and give a good account of ourselves, and I know I should be saying we're going to win, but that's just probably unlikely to happen? Or had you convinced yourself that actually we can pull this off?
I think we definitely believe we could win the game. You know, there is a strong belief in that group of players and backroom team. So, you know, we did believe we could win. Right. We weren't going there. I'm sure you probably read a few papers beforehand saying that, you know, people saying that we weren't just there to make up the numbers, and we genuinely weren't. We believed we had the team, the system, and everything to topple Dublin. And for periods of the game, we were able to achieve that in small parts.
Yeah.
But look, at the same time, we know how good Dublin are. You know, we saw what they did to us last year, and you know, that is in your mind. But look, going into any game of football, and on any one-off day, you have to believe that you can win them. And I think that group of players, and you know, that we genuinely did believe that, and we thought we could do the business.
First 18 minutes. Wow, I mean, like, you must be kind of looking around thinking this is going very well. Dublin have a few wides, they drop a few short, and meanwhile Mark Bradley's causing havoc, and lots of the, you know, some really good direct aggressive kick passes. You were getting up the field in two or three or four good kick passes and working a scorable chance, and you're 5 points to one up. You know, Michalski kicks two very quickly and suddenly you're 5 points to one up. We were sort of chatting in here yesterday evening and saying, geez, that might have been the one scenario you hadn't really talked through. You were probably bracing yourself to, you know, hang in there if you went two or three or four down early on, but to go 5-1 up after 18 minutes, was it almost hard to know whether to stick or twist and push on, or to actually maybe just drop back for 10 minutes? Or had you a plan for that eventuality?
You always target a fast start. You know, in any game, you know, it's key. You always talk about it. You talk about, you know, let's get a fast start and let's get ahead of teams. And we knew it was going to be important against Dublin to get a fast start because, you know, traditionally they can put you away very early on. So when that happened, I say we were playing some really nice football, playing great, you know, as you said, a kick pass and was going up the pitch, ball in early to the forwards, exactly what we wanted. But we did make some mistakes after that. I don't know, that's potentially something, we nearly panicked as such a wee bit. You know, we were 5-1 up, everything was going good, and then we started to do things that probably wasn't what we should have been doing. Mm. We went back to the fist pass in 2 yards and not trying to get the ball up the field. But at the same time, I think Dublin changed. They were able to adapt quite quickly. You know, they realised that you know, they were in a game. They were 4 points down. They realised that this isn't going to be, you know, all plain sailing. And I think they made a few moves after that 20 minutes that potentially stifled us and, you know, made us really think of, you know, we couldn't get the ball in early.
Yeah.
Because they had more men back. And, you know, there's wee small touches. There's, you know, the game stalled a few times for various reasons. Mm. And sort of killed a bit of momentum. So there's various factors that I think changed the game.
Yeah, I guess that's it, their experience. I mean, I say that, they're getting younger by the year, literally. The average age of the team is coming down, but experience is going up all the time. Mannion went down for an injury, and we'd end McGinley on the show last night, and he said around the 20-minute mark, it was as if Dublin just said, right, everybody get behind the ball and let's just stop the kicks going in anyway and we'll work our way out of trouble from here. And he said they just dropped everyone back. So I presume you were one of those players who was suddenly looking up with the ball in hand and there wasn't the available options you'd seen for the first 18 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose your first priority is to get up the field as quickly as possible. And we were able to do that early in the game. When teams get players back and you look at the field and, you know, the players aren't out in front, you can't kick it in and just, you know, lose the ball. Possession's key in today's game. But what happens then is you have to work the ball in and try and get scored in a nice angle, or, you know, off good angles, and that's harder. And I think we took a lot of snapshots from positions which, you know, we probably shouldn't have been shooting from. And, once we missed two or three wides, then Dublin then were able to get their scores the other end, and then obviously the penalty was it's a big momentum changer, and it's very, very hard to stifle that when the momentum starts to shift, the crowd get up, and I say, you know, we're a young enough team ourselves, so it's very, very hard to do something at that stage to break that.
I've no doubt. So you had 6 wides in that first quarter, 9 in the second half in total, and it's interesting you mentioned what it's like when a momentum shift happens like that, because as soon as Dublin went a point or two ahead, it just looked, even watching through television, let alone I'm sure what it was like in the stadium, like suddenly the game was back in their terms and they were standing up that bit taller and had that bit more time in the ball. And I don't know, a little bit of something goes out of you when you go behind, especially when you've been 4 points up. I it's just, it's very hard to steel yourself as a group against that happening when you can see the goal. And I mean, in the end, they put 2-4 in 13 minutes on you.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, things are going well. You know, everyone's, you know, showing for the ball. Everything's, you know, you think you're untouchable. When Dublin got back to Leven and got the point ahead, suddenly, you know, momentum has shifted. We're trying to get the ball out of our defence. It makes it so much harder. They get a few scores. And look, you know, whether it's very, very hard to stop that. Even communicating from, you know, on a player basis is so difficult in Croke Park. We nearly needed something to happen, you know, a piece of magic from somebody to get up the pitch and maybe get a score to stop that. It didn't happen, and, you know, they were able to put that, you know, say a 2-4 on us, and, you know, it was a long way back when that happened.
It's the kind of moment where a Brian Duher or a Stephen O'Neill or a Muggsy or a Brian McGuigan or a Peter Canavan comes in very handy, and they can just do something special and change the game. Did you, certainly from the semi-final, you decided to go more man for man with you as the sole sweeper, certainly for portions of the game. Is that a slight shift? Is that what happened? Because that's been talked about a little bit. That was the kind of the point you evolved to this year.
Yeah, look, you know, we knew, I suppose, from last year that, you know, the approach we took didn't work for us. So we knew we had to adapt. I suppose the semi-final and final, and you know, various times throughout the year, but I suppose it's a bit more evident, a bit more looked at
right.
at the final, the semi-final and the final. So yeah, look, there was obviously, we knew that there was key men that needed man-on-man marking, and you know, we knew we had to go towards that a wee bit more. That approach, but you know, I suppose our two sweepers system. So yeah, there was probably a shift in that. But say at the same time, you know, you still want to keep as many scores out as possible.
Yeah, and,
it's a hard one to get right.
It really is, and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul at times, because there were moments in the midst of that 13 minutes where they're putting 2-4 on you, where a few times ball may have been turned over or they were on the attack, and Kieran Kilkenny will find himself on the halfway line with two men on his shoulder, and you know, in fact, like Tyrone men are the wrong side of them, but they're marking men, but they're the wrong side of them, and they're getting a free run at Colm Kavanagh and his mates, and then it gets very tricky. And I don't know, I'm sure you're a bit torn at that point, where you're thinking, geez, maybe for these few minutes, like, you know, but let's batten down the hatches, let's abandon man for man, let's do what they've done to us and just get men back for a few minutes.
Yeah, look, so in hindsight everything's great,
but yeah. Look, I'm sure if you could press pause in Croke Park and have a team meeting, that'd be easier.
It'd be brilliant. And I say, look, yeah, we did find ourselves in that position, I found myself in that position quite a few times, where there was, you know, maybe two men coming at you and you were trying to hedge your bets almost.
Yeah.
But Dublin moved the ball so much, so fast. You know, in terms of, I was looking from my point of view, whenever I'm trying to get back into that sort of sweeper role, you know, the ball's nearly on top of you, you know, and you don't have that time to actually think about very much and scan the pitch and see who's coming. So, you know, that's a credit to them. They're very fast at moving the ball. They try and, you know, they try and get the ball out and up the field as quickly as possible. And that makes it so difficult for us then to stop that. And I say they do come in numbers. It's nearly like they have a rotation system where, you know, three players go at one for one attack, and the next three will go the next attack. It's very, very economical, and you know, their players seem to have a lot of energy when they're coming forward. They're not, they're not coming up the field slowly. So, you have to give them credit for that.
Yeah, look, they're an exceptional team. It's very difficult. 7-point gap at half time, and for much of the second half, until the Hart penalty, really, it's a 6-8-point bubble. And you might give us an insight into this, and we saw it a little bit in the semi-final last year as well. They are like strangling games in a good way now. When they get their noses in front, they almost seem to just take chance out of it. It's very hard for you to interrupt their recycling of the ball. They will wait very patiently for their chance to just notch on another point. They're in no rush because they're ahead anyway. What's like playing against that? Because I'm sure, you did go in full forward eventually, but it occurs to everybody in the team, we're 6-7 points down here. We need to get moving, and yet it looks like Dublin are just going through the motions and you're not getting near them.
Yeah, it's a very frustrating time. You know that you have to go in and really press them to stop them from playing the ball around, and you know, but they're playing the ball around so that you push out on them and leave gaps ultimately in behind, and they were able to get scores, and that's effectively probably what happened to a certain extent. We tried to press man on man and really get the ball back quickly, but it was going to leave gaps. So no matter if we got up to get a score, what happened normally was they went back and got another score on us and just kept that gap, all the same. So it's a difficult one to do, because if you drop back, it's pointless, because at the end of the day, they're just going to keep the ball up in their own half. There's no shot clock in Gaelic football. It's not like basketball. So they can hold the ball for as long as they need to hold the ball for. And then, as I say, wait for that moment for a gap to appear. So it's probably... it's a difficult one, and I say that's why we knew that we needed a fast start and to get ahead of them, because once you're ahead of a team, you're in control and you dictate the pace of the game. But at that stage, we really had to, after halftime, we had to press, and we needed scores, we needed goals. Effectively, we knew that we were going to need a goal or two to win the game. We targeted that first 10 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever, to try and get back in it, but. You know, it was always going to be a difficult one.
Would you like to see a shot clock come in or any rule changes?
There's been so many routines recently. It's a difficult one to see whether how it would work. I'm a big fan of basketball and really enjoy that sort of element of the shot clock that, you know, they have to get past halfway and they're not allowed to come back and then they have to get a shot off. So I think it would make potentially for an interesting bit of interest in football, but I'm not sure practically how it would work. And you know, I'd say it would cause a few headaches in the game.
Yeah, we've plenty of them already, I suppose. Difficult question for you because you're still a current player. We'll ask you about your future intentions, but and I know the correct answer here is no, we're closing the gap. We feel we're getting there and we're going to challenge them next year. But if we exclude Tyrone from this for a second, I'm just curious for your sense of the landscape. Jim McGuinness was writing today and he said, being honest, it's easier now to imagine Dublin as champions for the next three summers at least than it is to put forward a plausible argument as to what other teams will not only match them for athleticism and power, but overtake them on the scoreboard. They have left the field far, far behind. That would be the worry in some respects from the outside. What's your sense?
Yeah, look, actually, I suppose it is a difficult one. I am still current, so I believe that the gap is closing, albeit, you know, it's very hard for me to back up that argument because, you know, they've done four in a row. Mm. You know, there hasn't been too many teams that have got close to Dublin in many games this year and previous years. So it is a very hard one to actually judge on. They have everything in that team. It's frightening. Mm. I think maybe spoke to Sean, you know, after last year's game, and, you know, we were really taken back about how good this Dublin team was. You know, we thought going into last year's semi-final, we were going to take them down, and they, right, you know, they wiped us. So, but this year, look, things are evolving. Football is evolving. You know, the teams are trying to, you know, get to Dublin's level. They're doing a lot. Everyone's doing a lot more statistical work or analysis work, doing a lot more strength conditioning. Every team's trying to get there, yeah. Physically, mentally, you know, everything. They're trying to get there. But until results start going in another team's favour, it's very difficult to see how the gap is closing because, you know, the results are what teams want at the end of the day, and they're not happening.
Yeah, I saw the stat yesterday so they started this four in a row run in 2015. The 2018 team are 6 months younger than the 2015 team. Like, they've managed to do it in transition, which is scary kind of thought for everyone. No, so I'm heaping you here with negativity.
No, I know that. I say, look, there's credit to Dublin because obviously they're coaching and they're, you know, they're bringing players through at a really fast rate, and, you know, they're able to, you know, transition in the senior teams relatively easy. Mm. And that's not always the case. You know, sometimes it is very, very difficult to move the older generation out and the new generation in, but they've done that seamlessly. And it's scary to think that.
So are you now the older generation, or are you still middle-aged?
Well, I'm the oldest on our current team, so I'm going to say I'm in the older generation.
Yeah, I read quotes from you saying that you'd sort of been joking with the lads that if you won on Sunday, you might sail off into the sunset and retire on an All-Ireland victory. And I kind of thought, oh, maybe you're a bit older, but you're only 31. So is that now feeling very old in the world of inter-county football?
It probably is to me in a sense that, you know, I suppose in numerous factors, I'm 11 years now playing for Tyrone, so it's a long... It's, you know, from 2007, it has been a long enough run. I suppose, you know, whenever you don't get success in all Ireland stages, it can feel that wee bit longer. This year in particular probably was a wee bit, it felt very long for me in that I had a wee bit of club success. So literally I've been going from, I think, October 16 in competition right through till now without a break. So yeah, it's felt that long stint. So I suppose I looked at it that way and I said, look, if I can get two All-Ireland successes in 1 year, I would move on because I don't think I would be able to achieve much more. And, you know, there's a good crop of lads there, and a lot of young lads who I think are going to develop in I'm going to really push on in the next couple of years. So, and I always said that I want to obviously be able to contribute when my body's good and I'm feeling that I can add value to the team. But to go out in an All-Ireland success is the way that any player, I think, if you ask them, they'd want to do that. They'd want to leave on a high because I've seen it this year with my own club where a lot of warriors of the team that had been, you know, playing for years after they won the All-Ireland, they moved on and they can accept that. So
yeah,
I've seen that. So it would have been a nice idea for me to do that.
Well, given that you've spoken about how miserable you've been for the last 2 days, I presume you're going back in 2019 to try and put it right in some way.
Yeah, look, I said this, I've been asked this question a lot actually over the last couple of days, and I suppose it's given the same answer in that, you know, my intention will be, I think, you know, I'll obviously have a chat with Mickey about it and, you know, see how the body is over the next few months. And, you know, I obviously have to finish out the club season this year.
Yeah.
My intention will be probably to go back, and if you know, if both myself and Mickey feel that, you know, I'm going to be able to add value next year and really provide that experience. So, but again, there's a lot of variables in sport. So I'll have to sit down and, you know, check myself in the next few months.
Yeah, well, I have no doubts he'll want you back. So you won an All-Star last year and you're very much tipped to win another one this year. You've had a fantastic season. You know, I know you're too humble to publicly say that about yourself, but you've had a brilliant season. I mean, you're tipped to get one at midfield, which is kind of curious because I know you spend a lot of your time a bit deeper. Sean was saying on television on the Sunday that your dad's on at you to push a bit further up the field. Would you not go and get up a bit more into midfield? He's harking back to the days when you were box-to-box midfielder, I'm sure.
Yeah, Daddy, I suppose he always would have thought that I was always a forward. I suppose I was a forward right up to I was about 19 years of age, and yeah, was a full forward as a minor. So right. Yeah, it's a running joke in our house that I'm nearly moving back the field every year, or moving back every year. It's been an okay year for myself. I'll say that on personal levels, I don't like to discuss any of them sort of things. I'm sure any player will tell you it's a team. Everyone wants to win all Ireland, and you know, as a team, and there's no better feeling than that.
You did a fantastic interview. I think it was last year actually, before the semi final with your brother, with Mick Foley in the Sunday Times.
That's right.
Yeah, there was great photos of you playing pool together and like the extent of your closeness with Sean was there for everybody to see. I mean, we were talking just typical brothers, obviously, and beating the shit out of each other the whole time and, you know, throwing computer, my computer controller isn't working when you're losing the game. All the classics that people with brothers know, and right through to what, 10, 11, 12 years together, basically, with Tyrone. What's it been like without him this year? Like, are you suddenly not talking to him as much, or do you live near each other, or what's that been like without him?
Yeah, we live actually two doors down from each other.
We literally
lived in each other's pockets for that, you know, obviously playing for Tyrone for them 11 years.
Yeah.
I don't see him as often anymore. It was strange probably at the start of the year. I was going up to, you know, obviously I'm used to him having him in the car every night, and you know, we chat a lot now. So it has, you know, even though we live so close, we don't see each other that often, which isn't always a bad thing, to be fair. But yeah, I actually find it strange at the start of the season. You know, I come in the Tyrone setup just after the Moy success this year, and around February. So you know, it was strange at the outset, and we shared a room, you know, with each other, you know, when we were away with Tyrone as well. So it was really small things that I had to adjust to, and it was a wee bit, I wouldn't say difficult, because you know it is what it is, but it was strange not having them there. But we didn't tend to talk, you know, this year very much about football when we seen each other. Just, you know, we just sort of left that to the side, because obviously he was going into his punditry elements, and I was still playing, a current player, so yeah. We didn't really chat very much about anything this year, and I left. Unless he was giving me bad grief about anything, then I would pull him up on it.
Well, listen, he's the enemy now. I mean, he's outside. You can't be talking to pundits or giving him any inside goss.
No, absolutely not. No, we genuinely keep that separate. We have enough other things to get caught up on. We both young families, and you know, that's them things are more important when you're playing out the front, and that's what it's all about, as such.
Yeah, well, listen, thanks so much for your time. I can imagine it's kind of a sickening few days and you're trying to get over it and everything. And hopefully we see you back next year, Colm Cavanagh. Thanks a million. Cheers, Colm.
Thanks a million. Thank you very much.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.